Blog Talk Radio.
It was the summer before the real world started, and the deal was we would get to go if we cleaned it up and got it running. That is old Winnebago. Winging a prayer down a 65 by best friend on four ball ties. I can still see Billy smiling when we finally made it to Talladega. Boys raised us, whiskey and gold glass. Now here's the turning up, slowing down, and cars that go real fast. Like a stone, time rolls on. You can't hit pause, that's just a thing. Most days in life don't stand out, but life's about those days that we all lack. Rockin' Randall, gettin' rowdy, shootin' Roman candles at the man in the moon. Till the Alabama sun was breaking over Talladega, boys raised up a whiskey in your glass. I guess to turn it up, I'm slowing down, and cars that go real fast. We were laughing and living and drinking and wishing and thinking as that checkered flag was waving. Sure like to stay.
Austin Dillon, driver of the Dallas Chevrolet, and you're listening to The Pit Stop with Tim DeSpain.
Live from Talladega, Alabama, you're in The Pit Stop. Tim DeSpain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network. Big thanks to Talladega Super Speedway Track President Grant Lynch and Public Relations Director Russell Brown. To purchase your tickets for this weekend's events here at Talladega Super Speedway for the Winn-Dixie 300 on May the 2nd for the NASCAR Xfinity Series, or the Geico 500 on May 3rd for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, call 877-GO-TODEGA or visit TalladegaSuperspeedway.com. As Grant Lynch always says, this is more than a race. This is Talladega. Let's get everything going on tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We've got my good friend, Reverend Joe. Let's bring Reverend Joe into the pit stop and get the invocation and everything going, and we've got a big show going on. Let's bring Reverend Joe in. Reverend Joe, how you doing tonight, bud?
Did you say it was Tim Insane? That's what it sounded like. I think that's about right.
I'm probably a little bit tired after coming back from Richmond, bud. I might have it might have skipped on me. I'm sorry about that.
Well, you know, it's kind of a good thing and a bad thing that Amanda's not coming on tonight because she's a great lady, but unfortunately, I've got no time tonight to talk at all. So let's get things started and talking to you guys next week. I got a few major plumbing problems going on here at home. So let's pray. Lord, we come before you today and we thank you. We thank you for the safe weekend at Bristol. We thank you for the safe weekend at Richmond. We thank you for the safe weekend that's coming up at Talladega. We thank you for the safe trip that Tim and Sue had and the great time they had from everything I hear. We thank you for giving them all that. We thank you for everything you do for us. Protect all the racers, all the crew members, everyone involved. Be with us all. Be with our military. Be with our police and be with our government. Help us all to do well and do right. And help us to follow you, Lord Jesus, just like you told us to. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Joe, as always, great invocation. Thank you for coming on. I know you got some stuff going on, but if you got just a second, throw that out there, where it back and follow you on social media, bud. We'll let you go.
Yes, sir. Our website is ontrackwithjesus.org, and you can find me at Reverend Joe Bubico on Twitter and also on at Reverend Joe Bubico on Facebook. Give us a holler. Give us a shout anytime. And we thank you all, and God bless you all, and we'll talk to you next week, Tim. Sorry to be in a rush, but God bless you, buddy. Love you.
No, that's fine. God bless you, too, bud. Love you, too. You go take care of your plumbing problem, and we'll talk at you next week.
All right. Bye.
All right, bye. That was a good friend, Reverend Joe. And at this time, I want to bring on my good friend, CEO, SpeedwayDigest.com, from Richmond, Virginia, Mr. Stephen Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Stephen, how you doing tonight, bud? I know we had a great weekend this past weekend at Richmond International Speedway. We got a lot to talk about. What's going on, bud?
Well, I'm having halfway decent weather up here, and Suzanne just said that y'all are too, and sounds like she's feeling much better than she did on Sunday.
Yeah, she is. She finally got her voice back, Stephen. I wish she wouldn't have. You know how that goes.
Yeah, I know. That sucks, though, man. Y'all came all the way up here, and she loses her voice and rained out a race, and maybe sometime in the future you guys can come back up here to Richmond and see a whole weekend worth of racing.
Well, thank you, bud. I hope we can, too. At least we got to see the Xfinity Series racing. That was a, you know, Dennis Bickmeyer, Amy Turner, that bunch up there, they put on one great show, and glad we got to come up and hang out and have a great time with everybody. And just to throw this out there, Stephen, before we get talking about the past race weekend, I know you're going to cover the Cup side, and I'll cover the Sprint Cup side first. The number to call in is 215-383-3681 at 6:20 Central, 7:20 Eastern Time. We've got President Tyler Super Speedway, Mr. Grant Lynch, coming on. And at the top of the hour, we have crew chief of the number 97 Ford Fusion for Will Kimmel and the ARCA Racing Series coming on. And Tony B is coming on tonight. He's going to come on. And Stephen, if you want me to, I'll go ahead and start with the NASCAR Xfinity Series from Richmond. NASCAR Xfinity Series race number 8, the 28th. Running of the Toyota Kara 250 from Richmond International Speedway, your top 10. Your winner, Mr. Denny Hamlin, the high-sense Toyota. Joe Gibbs racing second was Joe Logano. Third was Reagan Smith. Fourth, Eric Jones. Fifth, Chase Elliott. Sixth, Daniel Suarez. Seventh, Brian Scott. Eighth, Austin Dillon. Ninth, Kyle Dillon. And tenth, right on your top 10, Mr. Landon Castle. And I'm not going to touch on much. Just want to failed to qualify was 89 of Morgan Shepard and number 03 of Johanna Long. Hated that for Johanna. We had her on the show last week. But the points. I can't find the points. But anyway, Stephen, I'm going to hand it over to you and let you cover the Cup side from Richmond International Raceway.
Well, unfortunately, Saturday night we had a little bit of a rain out, and NASCAR had to call it off until Sunday afternoon, just after 1 o'clock, got going up there in Richmond for the marked a quarter mark of the 2015 NASCAR Sprint Cup Series out there. Kurt Busch ended up winning that race out there, leading just under 250 laps throughout the 400-lap event. This is his first victory in 2015 and his 26th overall in his NASCAR Sprint Cup Series career. It's also his second victory in 11th top 10 there at Richmond International Raceway. Kevin Harvick finished second, Jimmy Johnson third, Brett Moffitt was your highest finishing rookie out there, and Kevin Harvick continues to lead the points over Joey Logano by 33. Now, one note to note into this, Kurt Busch, since he has returned from his suspension, has posted 222 points, which is 1 point shy of what Kevin Harvick has of 223 since the return. So he's number two in the number of points that he's posted since his return back there at Las Vegas.
Yeah, that's a great point, Stephen. And correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't he, this past race at Richmond, he led more laps than he's ever led in a single race, correct?
Yeah, this is the first time he's led that many laps in an event there. He's done a heck of a job so far this season. He's done real good out there, and you can't take anything away from him.
Yeah, tenfold. And you know, Stephen, like you said, Susanna and I, we had to fly back Sunday from up there. But was there any interesting stuff come out of there as far as the Tony Stewart Dale Jr. deal? I don't know. I hadn't seen much. I hadn't had time because when I got back to work here, you know, everything's messed up. So I've been trying to take care of it. But I did see something about Stewart and Junior were trying to blame each other for the wreck. Can you touch on a little bit about that?
Well, it was one of those cautious braiding cautions out there towards the end of the event out there. Everybody was stacked up pretty deep out there on that last restart with those two, and Junior seemed to come down just a little bit on Tony Stewart, which ended up putting him into the wall there in turn one.
Yeah, I mean, I had, you know, heard a little bit about that. But did you get to catch up with Chris Knight? I know Chris said he was going to come up in the press box Sunday. Did you get to catch up with him?
Yeah, I ended up did get to talk to Chris out there on Sunday for a little bit. Had a real good conversation with him about what he's got going on, what we've got going on, and hopefully we can get him on the show here at some point.
Yeah, I had mentioned it to him, I think, over in Atlanta. When Suzanne and I was over in Atlanta, I had mentioned something to him. He said he would be glad to come on just any time. Yeah, Chris has got a lot of knowledge about the sport as well as you do, Stephen. And coming up on the quarter after the hour, we've got Todd Digby sitting here. We're probably going to bring Todd in here in a minute. But I want to touch a little bit about on do you think we'll see 16 different winners this time? I might be trying to crank it up a little bit too early, but I think we got, 16 or 17 races till the chase, but just want to throw that out there, which I know we've had multiple winners. And now Kurt checked his box into the chase for the NASCAR Sprint Cup. What are we looking at, Bud, in your opinion? Do you think we're going to have multiple winners or not? I mean, I'm sorry, not multiple winners. Do you think we're going to see more winners than we've seen last year that check their place in the chase without having to come in on point?
Well, all I got to say is that whoever it is, if they decide that they're going to win this year, they're going to have to get by Kevin Harvick, that's for sure. He's already got multiple wins out there. The Team Penske drivers, they've got multiple wins. So those three drivers right there, they've got to get past them and every single week. And even Kurt Busch here in the last couple of weeks since he's returned out there, he's had a real good, strong showing. He had a potential to win out there at Bristol just the week prior before a late race incident. So you've got four drivers out there that are at the top of the field every single weekend. Will we see 16? I don't think so. I think we're on track to probably see about the same number we did last year as far as the number of different winners in the Sprint Cup series.
And talking about teams, Stephen, you touched on another good point there. You know, Stewart Haas Racing, they've got this figured out. Penske Racing with their two Fords with Brad Keselowski and Joe Logano. I mean, they've touched on something. The Gibbs bunch. I mean, you know, not far as the Cup side is, you know, there's, you know, which Kenseth has won, so he checked his spot in, and didn't have one too. I mean, it's like a Hendrick Motorsports, which, you know, Jimmy's won. It's like they're, you know, how they talk about the number one top tier team. Let's touch a little bit about on that, as far as the rules changes, as far as the no ride height crew coming in. Then, do you think that has something to do with, you know, it's going back and forth, Steve?
Well, 2015 is starting off the way that 2014 ended out there. Penske Racing, they were leading the Ford camp last year. You got Stewart Haas Racing out there with Kevin Harvick that was obviously leading the Chevrolet camp with what they had going on and ultimately the championship out there. Those two teams have not really lost anything in the off season. It seems like everybody else is playing catch up to them. Joe Gibbs Racing has had some bright spots with Denny Hamlin winning, Matt Kenseth winning, but it really has just been the luck of the draw for them. They haven't had enough bright spots in 2014 and even continue into 2015. And you've got Roush Racing that still does not have a handle on this at all. There's still mid-pack racing teams out there, 20th, 25th teams. They still have not got a handle on what they've got going on. You know, the Hendrick Motorsports guys, other than Jimmy Johnson so far this year, he's the only one that's shown really any amount of speed out there with winning two events already in 2015. You know, Jeff Gordon started the season off very down. It seemed like every single week he was running into something out there. Casey Kane really just hasn't had much going for him again this year. And you got Dale Jr. that, you know, he's had the opportunity this year, but has not been able to capitalize on it like he started in 2014 with his three wins that he had last year. So, you know, it's just looking just like 2014 did with the same teams that really had this new Gen 6 car down and the teams that did not have it down, and that's Penske, and that's Stewart Haas Racing. And the funny thing about Stewart Haas Racing is is that they're getting their engineering, their chassis, their engines, and everything pretty much from Hendrick Motorsports. They're a Hendrick-affiliated team. So those guys, you know, Hendrick, you would think naturally would be getting, you know, would be getting something out of this, but they're not. It's Stuart Haas. It seems to be the ones that have hired the right engineers and the right personnel to get those teams up to speed and to continue to beat everybody out there week in and week out.
Yeah, and Stuart Haas. You know, you got, like you said, since Kurt has come back from his suspension about his little deal, and you got Kevin Harvick that just, I mean, every daggum weekend, he's getting some yonder, bud. I mean, you got them two, and then you take Danica's doing better. You know, I'm sure she's not where she needs to be. And then you got Tony, part owner of Stuart Haas Racing. He's bringing up the rear. You know, I don't know what to say about Tony. I know he still had a lot on him about far as what went on last year. And plus, Tony just had some bad luck, boy. But with that four-car team, Harvick, Kurt Busch, Danica, and Tony bringing up the rear. I mean, you know, he's a former Spirit Cup Series champion. I mean, you know, I don't know what's going on with Tony in that bunch, Steve.
You know, Tony, he, yet again this year, I mean, he has not shown the speed. I mean, he's only got about one top 10 out there so far this year. He's continuing along with the path that he took in 2014 where he just didn't seem like he was running that great. And then again this year, it seems like over at Stuart Haas Racing that they have moved and shifted the personnel around over there to put those people in with who they know is going to contend week in and week out. I don't think that's anything that Tony Stewart has just said, okay, I want to run around the back, because I'm sure he doesn't want to run around the back. But in reality, he's the co-owner of the team out there with Gene Haas. So he's got to make a business decision on where to place personnel. And if he knows that he doesn't feel like he's got the speed or he can be able to run like Kevin Harvick has or Kurt Busch has this year, then he needs to make that business decision and to move the personnel as needed to put it where they need it. And obviously that's what's continuing this organization moving forward, is because Tony sees it as this is how it needs to be run. And Gene Haas is backing him up on this. It's nothing against Tony Stewart. I know he probably wants to be running a whole lot better than he does. I'm sure a lot of, like I said, these are nothing more than business decisions, you know, to keep the organization moving forward. And you got to commend him for that. You know, I'm sure everybody out there would love to see Tony Stewart run a whole lot better than he has, maybe even win. I'm sure he's one of those, you know, you're kind of rooting for the guy running around at the back every weekend. And Tony Stewart's had that bad luck that people are just like, I'd like to see him win. He needs to get over what he had going on. But you even take a look at Matt Kenseth. I mean, Matt Kenseth had a 30-plus winless streak out there before he won at Bristol Motor Speedway. So, you know, Tony's goes a little bit farther than that. Obviously, he won the championship just a couple of number of years ago. So, you know, we'll see. Hopefully they'll get this straight. He's got Greg Zipadelli over there and all those guys, the engineers, Gene Haas, everybody over there that's backing that team. So they've just got to figure it out as far as that's concerned. I mean, you take a look at Danica Patrick. She is in a contract year. So is she running better than this year statistically than she has before? Yes, obviously, because she's got in this quarter of the Sprint Cup Series year, she's already got two top 10 finishes at two of the toughest tracks on the circuit. Martinsville, she came in like seventh, and then she backed it up again there at Bristol. So therefore, she's running a little bit better on those style tracks, but she still does not have the speed when it comes to, you know, the half mile and a half tracks out there. She seems to be running about the 20th, 25th spot out there week in and week out. But she is statistically in 2015 running better than she has in any of her previous seasons in the Sprint Cup Series.
Most definitely, Stephen. Most definitely. I mean, you know, just like you said, she's in a contract year. You know, she's going to have to perform and see what's going to happen. But we've got our first guest coming on here, Stephen. President, track president, Todd Super Speedway, Mr. Grant Lentz. Let's bring Mr. Lentz into the pit stop. with Tim Mustaine and Stephen Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Grant, how you doing tonight, bud?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm sitting here in my office watching some RVs pull in here every once in a while.
I had heard a little bit on social media. Something like a race this weekend at Talladega. You heard anything about that, Grant?
I think we're going to have a little gathering of race fans this weekend. We've got probably the best forecast I've ever seen here. It's going to be, once the rains, we got a little rain today, and it's going to kind of continue into tomorrow. I hope it's not going to be a huge soaker because, as you know, Tim, we've been real wet this spring already. But we're going to have, starting tomorrow afternoon when this gets out of here, the best set of weather I've ever seen all the way to next Thursday. I think there's very, very low chances of rain, 10% or less every day.
Yes, sir. And, you know, I live – which I know you said you're at the racetrack. I live about the way the crow flies, Grant. I'm probably about a mile or half a mile from you over here in Indian Hills. But, yeah, we normally have our weather lady, Megan Thomas, from ABC 3340. She normally comes on and gives us our race weekend forecast. But, yeah, Suzanne and I made the trek up to Richmond this past weekend up there with my good friend Stephen Wilson with his wife, Ann Marie. And Suzanne couldn't get off, but we got to watch the Xfinity Series race Friday night, and we flew back Sunday, but as soon as we got back to Atlanta, I was telling Suzanne, let's get on that thing, go get to the parking lot. I got to get to my Sirius XM radio so I can get to the race. Well, as soon as we got to the Alabama state line, Grant, coming home, a checkered flag field.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, it was, you know, I've been through that here multiple times in a career and rained out races, you know, and everything, but it's part of being a racetrack operator. You're going to have good weekends, and you're going to have bad, and unfortunately, two straight short tracks just didn't have very good weather. Bristol got hammered, and so did Dennis and all my friends up at Richmond International Raceway up there, but sometimes you get, sometimes you have bad luck, sometimes you don't, and this time we've gotten good luck, so, you know, we're excited about everybody coming. Our ticket sales are up big over last year. And we're selling them real fast. Yesterday, we were up 20% over the year before. And we had a decent forecast last year, so we had a real great week. But it's setting up that we're going to beat the week we had last year. So we're going to have a really good crowd, and campgrounds will be real full. And we sold out of RV spaces in our infield about a month or a little more than a month ago. So we were out of RV spots and just had some tent camping left in there. So we're excited about the weekend.
That's awesome, Grant. That's awesome. And I've been watching a little bit on social media today. I want to thank you again for taking time out of your busy schedule to come on our show. I know you've been to Birmingham and all that today. But I'm going to hand you over to my good friend Stephen Wilson and let him ask some questions since he's up in Richmond. And then whatever he don't ask, I know he's got a lot of important stuff. And I'll let y'all talk, and then I'll come back in for a minute, and we'll let you go, bud.
Okay. Sounds good.
Hey, Grant. Steve Wilson, SpeedwayDigest.com. So you guys are bringing in something new this year. Tell us a little bit about the new digital board that you guys are building out there to bring to the race fans this year to get them a little closer to the action.
Yeah, we actually tested the first set of boards in May of last year, but they were in temporary structures. And then in the fall, we upsized the two central most boards in our board display. And they were much bigger. They were 40 by 80s. And then what we've done for this race is those three structures on the starting at turn four, the first board's right by our hospital care center in there. The second board is right approximately in front of the media center. And the third board is right above Victory Lane. And those two boards are the 40 by 80 boards there. And they're going to be in permanent structures, and they'll just crank the glass, winch the glass up into the structure itself. And then hopefully by fall, we'll have another permanent structure down near the old scoring stand, and eventually we'll have a fifth structure all the way down towards the turn one end of our track as well. So that will complete the project. And in Daytona, we'll be getting similar size boards for their track as we open up for 16 in Daytona. So that's brand new for the fans in the fact that the boards are permanent in those three locations.
And you guys do something down there that none of the other tracks I know of do. You've got the Big One Boulevard down there where you guys bring a lot of the drivers out there, have a lot of games and stuff, get in with the fans out there that are camping out there. How did that all come about getting the drivers to actually go out there and kind of interact with those fans throughout the weekend that are camping in the infield out there?
It actually occurred with a conversation that Russell was having with Clint Boyer. And Clint was just talking about, you know, back in the heyday of Talladega, when he was first cutting his teeth on the Sprint Cup Series, the infield was a pretty raucous place. And it was just, you know, we were known for some of that. And it kind of faded away. And he said, let's bring something back that the drivers can help with, and I'll help get some guys. And so the first one was in May of last year. We call it the Big One on the Boulevard. And we have a float, and we put all the drivers on a float, and we start on the turn 3-4 end of Talladega Boulevard. And we bring them up the boulevard, trying not to run over people with a float because it's hard, and get all the way up to the interchange between Easterbug and Talladega Boulevard, where about right by the Miller Pavilion place. And then we pull the float around, and then we have some games up there for the fans to participate in. And it was just a hit from the get-go. And then in the fall, we did it again, and we had, I want to say, 12 drivers that participated. And I anticipate this time it'll probably be a number similar to that, if not a few more. But it's just a fun time for the drivers to kind of get out and relax with the fans before they get too deep into their weekend. And for the fans just to see that the guys are up there on the – and they kind of judge the contest that we have and everything. And interact with the crowd over our PA system that we have set up. And then we do that for a while, and then we stop the activities. And then DJ Silver plays some records, some music, not records, but spins records or whatever you want to call it, that those guys do, and kind of keeps the activity going on up into the evening. So that's a good way to kick off the week. And not to mention, we've got a race that afternoon right before then. It kicks off at 5:00 with the International Motorsports Hall of Fame 200, the ARCA series. And ARCA has raced here, I believe, every year since the racetrack is open. They've been with us. So they're going to have a race, and then we're going to follow it up with a big party.
And obviously, you're following up on two short tracks out here, Bristol and Richmond, that come back-to-back, and those typically are known tracks out there that somebody gets a little payback out there. And not so much at Talladega. It's more about just your luck of the draw and whether you're in the Big One or you're not in the Big One. And I know a lot of different drivers have different strategies out there on the weekend, but what are you guys expecting out there as far as the Sprint Cup and the ARCA and Xfinity Series race? And what's your predictions?
Well, I think the first thing is if qualifying is going to be different again. We've switched it around a bunch our attempt was to see if we couldn't get the guys to race and qualify at the speeds they race at. And in order to do that, you have to send them out there in packs. Talladega is the opposite of most racetracks. Most racetracks, if they qualify at 194, 195, they actually start racing about 187, 188 or so. They're carrying a little more speed than they used to, though, during the racing. But at Talladega, the packs can go 10 to sometimes as much as 16 miles an hour faster than a single car can. But because the drivers were doing a lot of the gamesmanship and not wanting to go out and not wanting to give anybody a push or a drag or anything, it just really got to be a comical farce of a qualifying session. So we've gone back to semi-single car qualifying. Basically what will happen is we'll let the first person go, and they'll come across the line and take the green flag. And as soon as that person comes across to take the green flag, we'll send the other person out behind him. And then he'll come across and take the checkered. And then the other first person will come around and take his green. And then we'll just do that all the way through the field until we finish the first round. And then I think they're going to take the 12 top qualifiers and then do one more session and then get the pole winner out of that.
Well, Grant, good luck on this weekend. You're going to have some nice weather out there other than the last 2 weeks that we've had up here in Richmond and Bristol. So good luck out there, and I'm going to throw you back over to Tim.
Okay, thank you.
Grant, again, thanks Thanks for coming on. I've got one of my good friends from Alabaster. If you can take a call, Mr. Rowdy Maglite, I would like to bring him on, and we'll let Rowdy ask you a question. Then I got a, and then I got a couple of questions. So let's bring Rowdy from Alabaster.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Rowdy, how you doing tonight, bud? You're in the pit stop. Tim is playing Stephen Wilson and Talladega Super Speedway track project, Grant Lynch.
Hey, fellas, how you going doing tonight?
Good.
Hey, Grant, I was telling Suzanne over on the other side, I said, I seen the weather forecast. I went out to my bus. I throwed every type of rain gear, rubber boots out the bus and loaded it up without rain gear because we don't need it. We don't need it. It's going to be the best weekend I can remember.
I tend to agree with you. We're still going to have some low-lying areas that are going to be a little mucky, but that'll over 4 or 5 days, that'll dry up a lot too. But it's going to be a great weekend for racing. Picture-perfect weather. I think the drivers, you know, I've always said if they want to do what they can do at Talladega, they can't duplicate it at any other racetrack, and I hope they decide to do it this weekend.
Well, Grant, my son and I, actually, we started this as a family event in 1992. And now it's down to just my son and I, and it's twice a year. It's better than Christmas. It comes twice a year. We use it as a father and son weekend out, and it's the most awesome time I've ever had.
Well,
and I tell you, hey, everybody, if you've got a son, your daughter, if you're looking to bond, you've got a place to bond. Get some firewood.
That's right.
You can go over to the free camping. It's free. There's plenty of places to camp. Won't cost you a dime. Get you some firewood, a tent, sleep in the car. Just bring your kids and come out and spend a couple of days with them and bond with your kids.
It's a good way to do that, and you're going to meet a bunch of really nice folks because I'll tell you, our fans are just some of the greatest folks in all of NASCAR. They come from more distance than any other race crowd I'm aware of. The average distance traveled to the racetrack is 290 miles. That means half of our people come from further than 290 miles. So imagine how far a lot of these people are traveling to get to Talladega. And we love the fact that they come down here, you know, once a year, twice a year. It doesn't really matter. We just like to have them come see us.
Well, we have about 7 states represented with us. And if y'all's phone has been ringing as much as mine has today, y'all been busy because I couldn't do nothing today without answering the phone. Everybody,
well,
are you there? When are you going to be there?
Yeah, I'm watching them come in right now. So it's going to be a great weekend, and I think we got Chase Rice going to play in the infield on Saturday night, and all you need is your Sunday ticket for all the listeners to come into that concert. So that's a great way to come to a race and get a concert in as well. And you, as you mentioned, we don't have just a little bit of free camping. We've got hundreds and hundreds of acres of free camping. So we try to take care of our fans because it is tough sometimes to get to a racetrack with all the high-priced hotels and everything. And we're proud of our facility. And we have a lot of acreage, and we can do things other tracks can't.
Well, Grant, I know that you probably never heard me say it because I usually get on jocks after the race. That's one thing I appreciate about Talladega. It's still the only track in NASCAR you can camp free.
No, I think it is.
And it's beautiful. Y'all got the grass cut. It's a great place. And just like you said, there's a few low-lying areas. But if you got problems, your neighbor next to you will help you any way you can.
That's right. Move to a higher
people
spot if you're in the free spot. Yeah, that's right.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Grant, I appreciate it. Can't wait.
Well, thank you.
You'll be there tomorrow night. And I'm going to let that light shine all weekend. I can't wait to see y'all Friday night.
Have a great time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks, Rowdy. I'll put you back over to me. Grant, I know your time limit. Just want to touch a little bit about after Kyle Busch hit that concrete wall down there in Daytona, and, you know, the big hype is about safer barriers and as far as tire barriers. Has Talladega Super Speedway done anything or added anything different since that accident with Kyle Busch at Daytona, Grant?
Yeah, we announced with a press release, I want to say it's been about 6 weeks ago, maybe more. It was after Daytona, probably maybe a little more than that, that we were making some changes into our interior wall system to the gate 9 into turn 3 interior wall, and then coming off of the fourth turn from out near the hospital all the way down to pit in with safer barrier. And the final spot we added some additional was down on the interior wall as you come off of the last opening on the front stretch before you get into turn 1 around into the turn 1 area. So we put a more safer barrier up in those three spots in the infield, and then we've additionally added a few of the tire barriers onto the lips of some of our openings for our safety vehicles to go out onto the racetrack. So we have that done right now.
Awesome, awesome. And, Grant, if you want to throw out there some of the specials that you got going on or whatever as far as ticket packages.
We had a $50 two-day ticket. I doubt if there are any of those left right now. And then we've got various other tickets available. I will tell you, we've been selling tickets at an alarming number. So if the earlier you get here this week or call us this week and buy your tickets, is going to depend upon the price you pay for your ticket, because we're going to quickly run out of our lower price tickets in the lower grandstand, and that's going to be completely sold out in a couple of days, I think. And then we'll move up into our towers and start from the ends with pricing towards the middle. So it's going to get a little bit interesting as we get into the latter part of the week. On the pace we are this year versus last year, there's going to be a lot more folks in those grandstands, and it's going to be a big crowd on Sunday.
That's awesome. That's awesome, Grant. And myself, I'll be coming out Thursday. I think I'll come out and get my credentials and go to the media center Thursday, and I think Suzanne's not going to be able to make it to Friday evening. But, Grant, I always, you know, I do the commercial, but I want you to say your famous saying.
this is more than a race. This is Talladega. And we believe that, you know, that's why we try so hard to make the evenings fun. And, you know, I want to say something about the different styles. You know, some people want to party on up into the evening, and we've got campgrounds for that. And some people want to be at a place that's a little bit more subdued, and we can kind of tell you where to go for that. So you don't have to be in the wildest part of Talladega, and you don't have to be in the calmest. You can go anywhere you want to. We have an alcohol-free campground. We have an alcohol-free section in our grandstands, and so you can just kind of go to the areas where you feel the most comfortable, and we have something for everybody here.
Yes, y'all put on one hell of a show, Grant, two times a year. But again, Grant, I want to thank you again, and I'll see you. If I don't see you Thursday, I'll see you Friday or something like that. But thanks again for coming on the show. I know your time's limited because you're out there working, but tell Russell to do something, even if it's wrong.
That's right. Well, he's actually got me calling in to Buddy Baker and Jim Noble at 7 o'clock, so I'm going to sit here for 20 minutes and then call him and get on that show for a little while. And then I started at 6. My first thing was interview was at 6:15 this morning, and I've been doing them pretty solid ever since.
You're doing a great job, Grant. Thanks again for everything you do for NASCAR, for the fans, and for Suzanne and I, too. We appreciate it, bud.
Well, thank you, Tim. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome, bud. See you Thursday. That was Grant Lynch, y'all. Talladega Super Speedway track president. Steven, let's see who we got here. We got Todd hanging here. We got about 15 minutes before the top of the hour before we got crew chief of the number 69 Ford Fusion for Will Kimmel and Kimmel Racing, Mr. Bill Kimmel. Steven, I had something on my mind earlier before Grant called. I think you posted it on your site. David Reagan will be getting in the 55 car for Michael Walsh Racing. Where did you say, Kansas?
Yeah, he will be in the car starting at Kansas throughout the remainder of the 2015 year. At this point, he has officially, as of today, left Front Row Motorsports. He has departed from them, and he will be with Michael Waltrip through the rest of 2015. You know, this is something that Joseph, we were just discussing this a little bit earlier, and I was typing up an email to him because we're doing a little bit of a roundtable discussion for an article on this. It actually brings up a couple of good points out here. You know, this was going to be his fourth year there at Front Row Motorsports. Him and David Gillen were both the veterans of that team out there. You know, Front Row Motorsports only has one win so far in the Sprint Cup Series out there. David Reagan got it right there at Talladega Super Speedway with David Gillen coming in right behind him. So that was probably one of their highest moments that they had out there. But it kind of brings up a point. What happens to Brian Vickers now? Now that Michael Waltrip Racing has said that basically Brian Vickers is not going to be back in 2015, what happens to him now? And what happens if in 2016 he is able to come back? Now, Michael Waltrip Racing has always said that they do want to add another car to their stable. They've always said that Brent Moffitt was a likely candidate for that third car. But now that David Reagan is there, what happens to Brian Vickers at this point?
Yeah. You stirring up another can of worms. I mean, where does he go? I mean, if the doctor clears him, does he go back to Front Row of Motorsports and hop in that car? There are, have you heard who they're going to put in? Well, you just brought up Brett Moffitt. I mean, you know, this has been a really weird season, Stephen, with Kyle Busch getting injured, Denny Hamlin having the back spasms. I mean, there's been a lot of driver feelings. I mean, this has been really sort of like a soap opera, bud.
Yeah, I mean, it really has. When you take a look over there at Front Row Motorsports, you've had a lot of different drivers in that car. You've had Brett Moffitt in that number 34. You've had Chris Buescher in that car. You've had multiple different drivers over there that have taken that car off, had taken that seat over while David Reagan was essentially on loan to Joe Gibbs Racing while they were waiting out Kyle Busch's return. In fact, Kyle was the one that asked for David Reagan to come over there and take his seat in there until he returned. But now they're going to put Eric Jones in that car. He got into his first Sprint Cup Series event back there in Bristol when Denny Hamlin was having some issues out there. So he jumped into the number 11 car, and now he's going to be in the number 18, at least potentially until July. They're saying at this point that will be a return date for Kyle, even though that's not official yet. That's somewhere around the timeline that they're hoping to get him back in that car. But, you know, that really brings up the point. You know, now Brent Moffitt now has an opportunity to go back over there to Front Row Motorsports because they have had him already in the car. They've had Chris Buescher in the car. Chris Buescher is coming up through the Xfinity Series. He's shown a lot of speed out there. He's been able to do a lot of things out there and learn in that series, but he's not ready to move over into a full-time Sprint Cup ride. I think he needs a little bit more time in that Xfinity Series. And even Brent Moffitt, he's still a young guy. He really does not have that much experience when it comes to the Sprint Cup Series. In 2014, he was in the car for Brian Vickers. You know, Michael Waltrip has been in the number 55 out there. They brought him back again this year for a couple of races after they found out that Brian Vickers would again have to get out of the car after one event there at Auto Club Speedway. So, you know, it's kind of been a little bit of musical chairs this year. And, you know, the odd man out at this point seems to be Brian Vickers now that Michael Waltrip Racing has essentially said, look, David Reagan's going to be in the car for the rest of 2015. We're not planning on putting anybody else in that car. So now Brett Moffitt, most likely, if I think what might happen, he'll go back to Front Row Motorsports until that number 34 on the weekends that Chris Buescher cannot be in that car. And then potentially what happens at the end of 2015, if and when Brian Vickers is able to return, well, they're going to have to figure out something. Either they're going to have to bring a third car in, which also puts, you know, Brent Moffitt back out there as the third man, you know, the third wheel. So it's a little bit of musical chairs this year, a lot of weird stuff going on. And, you know, NASCAR has changed it this year so that in any other professional sport, if a player gets injured, the team doesn't lose out on being able to contend for that championship. Prior to the last couple of this year, NASCAR has essentially said, if you're not in that car every week, you can't contend for the championship. Now that the chase has changed in 2014, you win, you're in, and as long as you stay in that top 30, you can still get out of the car. And that's something that NASCAR has changed. That's why we're seeing such a musical chairs in the Sprint Cup Series, because these teams know that if a driver does get out and they are able to come back, as in Kurt Busch after his suspension, and even Kyle Busch has been given a waiver that upon his return, if he can win and if he can get himself in the top 30 by Richmond, he'll be able to contend for the championship in 2015.
Yeah. And just to touch on a little bit about what you said about bringing a driver up earlier, you talk about Eric Jones, about being put in a spot he was put in to get in the 11 car for Joe Gibbs Racing there for Denny Hamlin when he had them back spasms. I mean, he actually had to, I think it was 15 minutes prior to the race, he had to apply for his NASCAR license, Stephen.
Yeah, Joe Gibbs actually set a plane. Eric Jones had left Bristol, gone back to the Charlotte area when the first rain delay happened out there, which was about 4.5 hours long. They called on Eric Jones, flew him back up into Bristol. He had to get his NASCAR Sprint Cup license, apply for it through NASCAR, get it approved so that he could get in that number 11 car during that rain delay, and they only had but a matter of a few minutes. In fact, they had no time to work on the car to get him ready and get him in that car. He was sitting in Denny Hamlin's seat. He had all types of issues, which with the steering wheel being too close to him because of the way that the bodies and the form-fitting seats are designed in those cars. So he got kind of thrown in as a trial by fire, and that was something that we would have never seen before prior to the 2014 season, and the way that the Sprint Cup Championship and the way that you're eligible to even contend for it, it puts you into that position.
Yeah, you're right, and which he did finish far back in the field, but you know, you touched on that. He was sitting in Denny Hamlin's seat. The steering, everything was conformed to Denny Hamlin. But, Stephen, if I can, before we come up to the top of the hour, I need to step aside a minute. I want to bring Todd on, and let's bring Todd. We hadn't talked to Todd in a couple of weeks. Good friend from upstate New York. His home track is Watkins Glen International. Let's bring Todd Bigsby into Pit Stop.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Todd, are you there, son?
I am here.
Okay. Todd, I need to step aside. We got a few minutes before Bill Kimmel comes on. We're going to keep you on, too, and Tony's coming on. But I'm going to step aside a minute, let you and Stephen talk. Give me about 5 minutes. I'll be right back.
That's fine.
All right, Todd. Well, good to have you back on after the last couple of weeks. I hadn't been able to talk to you. We were just discussing a little bit about the musical chairs that have been going on in the Sprint Cup Series out here with David Reagan now moving over to the number 55, taking over that car for the remainder of 2015, starting at Kansas here in 2 weeks. This has put Brian Vickers essentially out of that car and out of a job at Michael Waltrip Racing at this point, unless they bring a third car in 2016, which I know in the past they said that they've wanted to do. They just did not have the sponsorship to do it, but they were also looking at when they brought that third car in, it was going to be Brett Moffitt that was going to fill that seat. Now what happens to those two guys? What do you think about all the musical chairs, and especially this situation that was just announced today?
Well, you know, with all these changes and everybody's flopping around, you know, because of all the poor things that have happened to people, I mean, it's really totally confusing for people. And, you know, like you were, I was listening, you had said, and I, you know, agree with you 100% on everything that you discussed. When these drivers come back, exactly what happens to them, especially when, like, they've lost a ride or something, you know, I mean, it's got to be hard on these guys, and I can't even imagine what it would be like for what they go through.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have to take a look at Brian Vickers. Over the last 18 months or so, he's been out of that car, in and out of that car for the last 18 months, give or take. This has been an ongoing issue since the latter part of 2013. Michael Waltrip Racing, Aarons, and everybody over there has been very supportive of him and his the clotting issues that he's had. But now, essentially today, with this announcement, they already know at Michael Waltrip Racing that Brian Vickers is not going to be able to return for the 2015 season. So they've put somebody else in that car. He's been named as a permanent driver of that car through 2015. If David Ragan is able to get that car into the championship, there's no way that Michael Waltrip Racing is going to let him go in 2016. They're going to want to keep somebody in that car that they know is going to be able to stay in there for the foreseeable future. And unfortunately, this also comes back to a business decision. How long can somebody wait for Brian Vickers to be able to come through his medical treatments? It's sad that he is going through it, obviously. You know, and everybody has been supporting him 100% throughout the entire way. But at some point, these teams have to make a business decision, and that's merely what this was today with Michael Waltrip Racing in the number 55 out there.
Yeah, I mean, and I know they're all doing it. They're flip-flopping people around to see who's going to be best in that car. And, you know, I've watched Brett Moffitt. I've watched David Ragan. I watch them all. And, you know, they have to watch real close. And then they have to make some sort of right judgment call on who they're putting in that car. I mean, Kevin Harvick, I mean, look at him. He's just walking away this year again.
Yeah, and most definitely. And you've got Front Row Motorsports out there that essentially had loaned David Ragan over to Joe Gibbs Racing. And as we were discussing, it was actually Kyle Busch that had requested that David Ragan come over. And this was approved by the ownership there at Front Row Motorsports to loan David to the number 18. But now Eric Jones is going to be in that car. And one of the discussions that I think a lot of people are continuing to have, and they're saying, well, you know, Kurt Busch came back. He had a 3-race suspension. He came back there. He's won a race. He's in the championship. He's in the top 30 in points. And that's all fine and well. But now it's now shifting to Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch has been out the entire season at this point. NASCAR has already said that they would be willing to grant him a waiver depending on when he comes back. Timeline is somewhere the July time frame back at Daytona. But what happens? Is that fair to say a guy has sat out half the season and not been in the car, and all of a sudden comes out there and let's say he wins a couple races because there'll be several tracks out there that he's won at before? Is it fair for him to be able to come back that late in the season and be able to contend for a championship? And what does that say going forward for other teams out there? Maybe they say, well, we're just going to sideline our best driver for half the season because now we know we don't have to put him in there for the entire season.
Yeah. As much as I like Kyle Busch, and I like Kyle Busch, I mean, the man can drive. But when this type of situation happens, I mean, it's hard to explain it because the way I feel is they shouldn't be able to be in the chase because they've been out all season. And if a different driver is driving that car and gets a win, that automatically will put him in. So I think that my honest opinion is that should knock that, if they're out like that, that should knock them out. The only thing they can do is get owner's points, driver's points, because they've been out all year. But, you know.
Well, I mean that kind of brings up the discussion again on the fact that this is the only sport prior to, let's say, 2014 when the rules were changed that allowed this to happen, that a driver had to compete throughout the entire year to lock themselves into that chase. Or, you know, even prior to the chase, you were gaining points throughout the entire year. So if you were hurt, you had to get in that car if you were still running in the top and to contend for that championship. And they made those changes where a driver is now able to get out, take care of their health. You take a look at the National Football League, you take a look at baseball, you look at any other professional sport, and you've got, you know, some of your top players that get injured and they sit out, like in baseball, 100 games a year, but let's just say they come back and the Yankees win with him on the team. It's, you know, the rest of the team has done their job,
But this guy has been sitting out for, let's say, 100 events that he hasn't been able to compete in. Does that make it fair to everybody else that had to be there? Well, that's their job. But in NASCAR, it's a little different, and I think you bring up a good point. There has to be some kind of cutoff. At what point do we say that, okay, you were hurt, okay, something happened, how many races does NASCAR say you can miss before it's you cannot compete for the championship any longer?
Yeah, and you know, and the thing that makes it hard is for the guy that say that David Reagan was to win with Kyle Busch's with Joe Gibbs 18. Okay. To me, it should be kind of in the favor of that driver, because that driver actually, I mean, it's a big controversial thing, because that driver wins and then he gets switched around to a different team. He's out of the chase, and there goes his dream of being in the chase in case he goes to another team and they don't make it. Then how's that driver feel?
Well, that actually wouldn't matter. He can the driver can continue to swap teams around because it's based on where you are in the points. If David Reagan were to have won and Kyle Busch came back, as long as David Reagan stayed there in the top 30 in points, no matter where he went, even if it was back at Front Row Motorsports, he would still be locked into the chase by virtue of his driver points, not necessarily the team, but because he was the driver that won, and as long as he stays in that top 30, he would still be in that, he would still have the opportunity no matter where he went, even if he went back to Front Row Motorsports.
Oh, yeah, you're right. But, yeah, I mean, you're right. They got to make some sort of cutoff point to where, you know, if you're out more than so many races, then you got to be out.
Yeah.
And I think we've got Tim back on the line. I'm sure he's chomping at the bit to get in on the conversation now.
Yes, sir, I am. I've been sitting here listening. I didn't get to hear the first of it. But, yeah, y'all were talking about you know, Todd, just like Steven said, it's the driver. If the driver wins, that's just like at the All-Star race. If, say, let's bring up Cole Whit. Say Cole Whit gets the fan vote. Well, he goes in and he wins the Sprint All-Star race. Him as a driver is guaranteed a spot in that race from now on. No matter who he drives for. Am I correct, Steve?
Yes, by virtue of your win in that particular event. And same goes for if you win a pole or you're a previous champion or whatever it is. You know, they've changed the rules so many times going into the Sprint Unlimited there at Daytona. The same rules always still continue to apply, that no matter even if you switch teams from the previous year, you were still locked into that event based on if you won the pole or you won that event before, or if you were a previous champion. So that never changed. The same goes for the Sprint All-Star race, too. And the same, it even continues now with the way that the chase format is set up.
Yeah. And, you know, you and Todd touched on a great point. You did, too. I mean, you know, NASCAR has to find out. I mean, you know, the rule book says you have to attempt to qualify for every race. And if you make it in virtue of points, you're in the chase. Or if you make it in virtue of a win. And like y'all said, I mean, I don't know where to draw the line. Do you want to take your quote-unquote highfalutin drivers out of the chase? I don't know. That's a good question to ask. I mean, you know, this is the first time, you know, we've not had this chase scenario going on, but just for a couple of years. So NASCAR is going to have to try to figure out what to do. But, I mean, you know, do you bend the rules? I don't know. Do you break the rules? I don't know. Todd, what do you think?
They just need to get a rule set in stone, and then it'd be fair for everybody.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. And, While we're waiting on Bill Kimmel to come home, I haven't heard from him yet. Tony B's been sitting over here in the sidelines. Let's bring Tony B on and get his thoughts. Stephen, do you have time to stay on for a little bit?
Sure.
Okay, Temple. Let's bring my good friend, Mr. Tony Budzinski, in the pit stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson. Where's my button? I got, Tony loves this button. I can get it to play.
Say hello to my new friend.
Hello,
Tony Jim. B, what's going on, bud?
Buddy,
I'm good.
Just a lot of
jump
racing
in the
going on. People I use to help, and really, really liking it. And you know, how about Graham Rahal coming up through the pack and racing down there in Alabama at Barber Motorsports Park? And you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in USAC, MSCS, ASCS. And, you know, great things going on in dirt motorsports with Kenny Wallace and Ken Schrader winning at Salem Motor Speedway. And just a lot going on. And happy to be here and talk to Stephen and you, Tim. And I believe that's Todd Bixby on the line there. And I just wanted to check with you all. Is there any way I could get you to fire me off an email? Because I need some picks for the next race.
You don't need no picks. You're leading the whole fantasy league.
Hey, thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, you're leading the whole thing, Tommy. I'm dead last. Well, hey, I'm gonna let you and Todd and Stephen talk. I'm gonna stay right here. We were talking about which I know, you know, your segment, everything, open wheel, you talk about other stuff, but we're waiting on Bill Kimmel from Crew Chief
awesome.
For Wheel to come on here. And Stephen and Todd were talking about the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, about the chase, about as far as Kurt Busch being out, should NASCAR allow him to be eligible to come back and maybe win a race and be in the chase? What's your thoughts on that, Tom?
Well, the bottom line is when we're talking about Kurt Busch, he was out due to legal reasons and, you know, being on the side point of NASCAR. They was just trying to do the right thing, and it's a rough game to play. But if Kurt Busch is not committed, you're not guilty until you go before a judge and a jury, and, you know, that's the way it is. I think they should have given him the right back from what they took away from him. Obviously, things fell in his favor for him to have that. But I read today that David Ragan is going to Michael Walter Bracy, and I kind of was listening to Stephen and Todd talk. If David wins a race in Kyle Busch's car, that race is David Ragan's. I think it follows him, and it doesn't stay with Joe Gibbs Motorsports. Am I correct, Stephen?
Yes, that's correct. The win stays with the driver, and the driver is collecting the points no matter where they may be seated at that particular time, which gives way to the opportunity for David Ragan to run. This will be his third team in 2015 that he's running for. This was only supposed to be a temporary thing at Joe Gibbs Racing, but if he is to win there at Joe Gibbs Racing this week at Talladega, that race, that win will stay with him, and that will lock him into the chase for 2015 once he goes to Michael Waltrip Racing. And same goes for if he were to win at Michael Waltrip Racing, that is his win, that is his points, and as long as he stays in the top 30 once he gets to Richmond in September, no matter where he's at that particular moment, he's locked into the chase.
Right. And with the way they changed the chase, you really, you know, do a little math, fellas. You don't got to be a guy that runs. You could be a starting partner. Go out there and win a race and, you know, get you a little money and run a few more races, but it doesn't take a full season to make the chase. Not anymore.
No, not any longer with the way that it's now set up. And I think that's one thing that NASCAR is going to have to look at following this season is, I think the conversation still comes back to the point, at what point do you say, okay, this driver has been out for X number of events. You're no longer eligible to run for the chase this year. Come back next season and try again. Is it in all fairness because we know that things can happen in racing and in motorsports? Well, of course it is, because you've got guys out there that are out there every week, no matter what happens, running events. So you've got to make a decision. There has to be some kind of decision made at a cutoff point to say, at this point in the season, we're no longer going to give any waivers. Or you say, even if it is in the middle of the season, we say, okay, you can miss X number of events, and as long as you stay in the top 30 and you win a race, then we'll give you that waiver. But that has to be a fine balancing act on what and where and when and how and if.
Well, my personal thoughts, Stephen.
And Tony, can I break in?
Yeah, I have a very good point, but you go right ahead, sir.
Okay, because I know we've got Bill Kimmel waiting online, a crew chief for the number 69 Ford Fusion of Will Kimmel. I want to bring him on because I'm pretty sure he's still at the shop. And Tony, thank you for letting me break in. Let's bring Bill Kimmel in the pit stop with Tim Spain, Stephen Wilson, Tony Bajinski, and Todd Bixby.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Bill, how are you doing tonight? Bill, I know you're probably still in the shop working, ain't you?
Yes, we are. Everything was doing so well. We was actually finishing the thing up, just doing checkoff sheets, and somebody put the seat in the car and didn't take one of the seat belt bolts out first. They got to take it back out now to put a lap belt in. So, yes, just one of those deals.
Kind of need that.
Yeah.
Gosh,
after some of the experience I've seen with him this year, yeah, he needs a seat belt.
Yeah, absolutely. One ride,
don't bring up Mobile. Don't bring up Mobile, Bill, because Suzanne said she was not there.
Yeah, but I know she was closer. She was awful close. She's in the same state, so. I know how it works.
I know it. Bill, I know your time's short. We've got Tony Bajinski. We've got Todd Bigby from upstate New York. His home track is Watkins Glen, and I got my good friend Stephen Wilson. I'm going to let Stephen ask you a few questions for a minute because Stephen's got to go, and I know you got to go, and we'll make it quick and short. Stephen, you got the floor, bud, with Bill Kimmel.
Hey, Bill. Steve Wilson, SpeedwayDigest.com. Coming into Talladega this weekend, as everybody knows, it's a gamble when you come to places like Daytona and Talladega. Any particular strategy you guys are going to start looking at or have already started looking at on who you're going to pair up with or anything you feel that you're going to be able to do to stay out of some of the racing incidents that's bound to happen out there?
Well, you know, we've been in the back and had wrecks, and we've been in the front and wrecks. So it's a tough deal to make a call. Will's had some really good luck with Tom Hesrick in the past, and they work pretty good together to where they trust one another, and that's a good thing. I like to think that you're better off by running up front. I just think that that's the best place to be because at least if something goes wrong, you get on television when you're crashing anyway. So I do like it when you're up front. I think you're much safer there than you are running in the middle of the pack.
And we're coming up that we've had an opportunity with all the teams out there to at least have one shot at using the Elmore motor this year. What are your guys' kind of feel on this motor that ARCA has brought in for this year, and how is it different that you feel that has changed the racing in 2015 and versus 2014?
Well, on the speedway, such as, you know, Talladega or Daytona, it's almost going to be a necessity to have the Elmore simply because it's a pretty powerful piece. We've had not a lot of major issues, you know, knock on wood, as far as failures and things like that. It's been very, very good in the past. When we at Daytona early on in the practice, we had a little heating issue problem with the oil temperatures, and we started running some exterior oil coolers, and his teams have taken care of that. So really, it's going to be the engine of choice again at Talladega. It's just something that it's the future of racing. I definitely think that in every motorsport, I mean, the expense is just killing us, and we've got to do something. You know, the series have got to do something to curtail that, so to speak, and this is one of the ways that they can do that. So I think it's a positive, an absolute plus.
Well, Bill, I appreciate you taking the time to come on tonight. I'm going to throw you back over to Tim and Tony out there. I'm sure they got some questions for you, and I know that your time is rather limited tonight. Good luck this weekend.
No problem. I appreciate it, buddy. Thank you.
Hey.
All right, Stephen. Thank you, bud. Stephen, I know you got to go because I know you got all your stuff going on. So we'll let you go, and I'll be getting in touch with you from Talladega. Suzanne's going to be covering our stuff while I'm doing Thunder 927 stuff for the Pit Road Reporter. But, Stephen, thank you very much, buddy, and we'll talk at you on the flip side.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good
night. Godspeed, brother. All right. See you, Stephen. Bill, I've got my good friend Tony Bajinski and another guy. And, Tony, I'm going to hand you over to Bill Kimmel and let y'all talk a second. I got some questions to ask Bill before. We need to let him go to try to get that car ready to get his butt down here in Talladega. Tony, you got the floor, bud.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you, Bill. You guys ran well at Salem. You had about 10 really good laps, and what happened with the car at Salem?
Boy, you put me on the spot, Tony.
Uh-oh.
It's a deal where it's something that we're really not familiar with. The crank trigger sensor mm-hmm. actually come unplugged.
Okay.
And it simply shut the motor down. And it's something that we're not familiar with and should have been caught. Absolutely, we should have caught that in a checklist, rather than been our checklist or rather been the Elmore people's checklist. It should have been caught. Was not. And on a restart, when he was up to third or fourth, the motor simply shut off and it took us, you know, 50, 60 laps to figure out what was wrong with it. And once we found it, you know, we went back out on the racetrack and run 30, 40 laps and actually run very well. So we just want to make sure that things were good.
I come back from the old school, my brother. You know, I was National Safety Director for the American Speed Association. Everybody ran ASA. And that was when I started back there. And Mark Martin wasn't as big as my right arm. You know, the cars didn't have the computerized and the engineering. And, you know, I also worked Indy cars with A.J. Watson. And when everything starts changing, you just about got to have a group of engineers looking over the car on everything that's going on. Because it shuts them down if that device doesn't work. And, you know, thank God you didn't blow a motor, but by God, it sounds like you had something for Ken Schrader.
Well, I thought it was going to be a really neat deal for us. I mean, we were fastest in practice, and it was a deal where the car was doing things comfortable for him. And that's what you have to look for, because in 200 laps, the driver just actually can't hold on to it for 200 laps. So he was real comfortable,
right,
and things were doing. We thought we were going to be a competitive car. I can never say, you know, well, if it wouldn't happen, we'd have won. But it
right.
certainly took us out of a position to win. So
absolutely. Now, did Will, did he come in? He obviously was coming in to have him one end repaved and the other rough like Winchester.
Well, Salem is Salem, you know.
yeah, it sure is, my friend.
You know, we've been going there since, you know, I've been going to Salem since the 60s, and just a wonderful place to go race. I mean, just people that haven't got to go to Salem or Winchester, they're really missing it, you know. And I go back to the ASA days. Matter of fact, I've got the ASA championship trophy here for the car owners in 1973 sitting here on our shelf.
Oh, that's fabulous.
I go back to the original days of ASA.
Robin, they were great.
Yes, and absolutely.
God rest Becky, she's passed, and Rex is not doing all that well. But Brian Robbins is still around, and you know, Wayne Debling and Al Stilley and Rob Albright went from ASA. He's with MRN or PRI. I don't, you know, we're all still around. But let me tell you, when you got to run with people like the Kimmels and Jody Ridley and Dale Earnhardt Sr. and Darrell Waltrip, and, you know, Darrell, tell you that he's a religious man. But I think he changed since I seen him at the Milwaukee Mile.
Cause I know he's changed since he runs Salem.
I didn't know that that many words could come out of a man's mouth. Paul Andrews, and I know you know who Paul Andrews is.
Oh, yes.
He wasn't working on the car right, so Darrell started talking in another language to him and made him understand. Did you copy that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can remember back in the late 60s, Dad was paid $200 a week to go to Owensboro to run against Darrell. So,
yeah.
Our relationship goes back years and years ago as well. It's kind of a cool deal. I guess that just means we're old, you know?
Yeah, well, I'm going to be 53 this year, and, you know, I was God blessed to win the Indianapolis 500 with Dario Franchitti and won the Rolex 24 Hours of Daytona with Juan Pablo Montoya. But, hey, I'm just a pit specialist. So if Will Kimmel needs somebody that can tell him a little something about making that thing go fast, I still got my head on my shoulders.
But he needs that.
I might have to point somebody to do it, though.
Well, Suzanne will do that for you.
Hey, I'm going to tell you what. Now, Suzanne, let me tell you, she's a good woman. And I'll let her wear my rings for winning the Izod IndyCar Pit Stop Championship in 2012 at Indy. And I'll let her wear my ring for winning the Indianapolis 500. And I bet it would make her smarter about
absolutely
sport activity.
Well, you know, because most of those rings come out of Indiana.
Yeah. Yeah. Right on.
Good.
Now, y'all know. Yeah. Let me tell you the story, Bill. I know you know the story. Tony and Todd, I want to tell it. Last spring, I went out to Talladega and hung out with Bill and them and sort of watched everything, and Will was fastest. I mean, Will had a dadgum. I mean, he had a car getting some yonder, bud. I mean, it was getting some yonder. Well, Suzanne couldn't come out till Saturday, which last year, the ARCA race was on Saturday morning. And Suzanne come out. Well, I mean, Will was, I mean, he qualified, I can't remember, I think it was fourth Bill, and I mean, he was just sitting and riding and sitting and riding, and well, we was sitting behind Bill and Pam and the whole crew sitting there in the pit stall, and I think it was lap 30-something, Bill. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm getting old, too. But all of a sudden, Bill comes down pit road, and everybody looks over the wall. Everybody starts pushing the car back to the ARCA garage, and Suzanne said, "What's going on?" I said, "Look there on the asphalt, Suzanne." She said, "What's that?" I said, "That's oil. That ain't good." Well, we get back, and then around there, of course, everybody from Ralph Shates Engines was over there looking at that Ford motor, and Bill comes out of the hauler and steps out there, and I finally told Suzanne that the motor let go. And I'm telling you, Will was going to win that damn race. He was going to win. And Bill come out, and he said, "Suzanne, it's your fault." She said, why? Because that was our first day at the track.
And that's, you know, Tim, I'll be honest with you. Sunday at Salem, when that car quit running, I was looking for her again.
I might need to bring her on to defend herself, but I,
yeah, I know it. She'll be after me come Friday.
Oh, she will get you Friday. She's gonna hang out with y'all because I gotta do my I'm a pit reporter for Thunder 92.7 FM. And we're gonna cover the race. And if it's MRN, it's not gonna, but it will be on Fox Sports One. I'm looking at my schedule. Yes, but I'm gonna be a pit reporter, Bill, and Suzanne's gonna come hang out with y'all and do that thing. But before I let you go, Bill, I got my good friend Todd Dixon. Todd, do you have any last moments? Do you have a last question for Bill? Because Bill's in the shop still working. When are you gonna let him go?
I'm just wish you guys the best of luck this weekend. I know it's the big track. Hope to see you guys get a win. I know Will does well, and I know you do a wonderful job.
Well, we certainly appreciate it, and we'll give them our best effort. I can promise you that.
Oh, yes.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing them get many more wins.
So I appreciate it. And Tim, I'll talk to you later. Thanks for having me on, and we'll see you Thursday and Friday, buddy, okay?
Yes, sir. I'll be there Friday morning right before the sunrise. I'll see you then, bud.
That'd be great, buddy. Thank you, guys. See you.
Godspeed, Bill.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh. You be careful, Bill. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that was Bill Kimmel, crew chief for the number 69 Ford Fusion of Will Kimmel and Kimmel Racing. He's trying to get some stuff doing there at the shop. That way they can get headed this way. Tony, Todd, any last thoughts? Let me read off the schedule before I bring y'all on. Schedule of events. Xfinity Series final practice will be on Friday. All times are Eastern, 11:30 to 1:50 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. Sprint Cup Series practice, 2 to 2:55 on MRN and Fox Sports 1. Sprint Cup Series final practice on Friday, 4:30 p.m. 5:25 p.m. MRN's got your radio. Fox Sports 1's got your TV. The ARCA race, the International Motorsports Hall of Fame 200, is at 6 p.m. Eastern time. Fox Sports has your coverage, and I will be with Thunder 92.7 covering it also. And Saturday, Xfinity Series qualifying, 11 a.m., Fox Sports 1, Sprint Cup Series qualifying Saturday, 1 p.m., MRN has your radio coverage, Fox has your TV. And then Saturday, the Xfinity Series, Winn-Dixie 300, at 3:18 p.m. Eastern Time, MRN has your radio, Fox, that's Green Flag. And then Sunday, for the big race here at Tyler Super Freeway, Sprint Cup Series, Geico 500, Green Flag, 1:20 p.m., MRN has your radio, and Fox has your TV. Any last thoughts, gentlemen?
I just tell you, I'm still working on getting myself and Steven down there for that event. And, you know, it really doesn't matter. As long as I can get to the world-famous Talladega Motor Speedway, it's the best in the world, and I've been to them, and get to see Tim and Suzanne DeSpagne, and if that rowdy Maglite wanted to race me down Talladega Boulevard and dance on three poles and drink three cans of liquid, the first one to the end wins, I'm in.
Okay, that's a 10-4. So we're going to race some scooter chairs, Tony?
Don't beat me on foot. And let me tell you, at 52, I'm not the way I used to jump over that wall. I can fall over them, though.
I heard that, Tony. I heard that, bud. And, Todd, any last thoughts? And then we're going to make our picks, if y'all want to, for this weekend for the Geico 500 here at Talladega Super Speedway.
Nope, I'm all good. And thank you and Susan and Steven and Tony for another great show.
All right.
10-4 sounds good. Todd, who you going to pick for the Geico 500 this weekend here at Talbot Super Speedway?
I'm going with Junior.
Okay, you and Suzanne. Tony, who you got, bud?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to throw something at you, and I'm going to tell you the worst Hendrick car that will finish in the Talladega Geico 500 will be Jimmy Johnson. He could be last. That's the worst. But if you want to know the best, y'all better get back and get ready, because smokes are coming. And, you know, it ain't been announced. You know, Gordon's retiring. I look for Mr. Tony Stewart not to be far behind him and run his program and help his people. So I'm going with Smoke, Tony Stewart, to win the Geico 500.
Okay, let's bring Suzanne on right quick. Let's bring Suzanne on a second. Suzanne, who are you going to pick to win the Geico 500 here at Todd O'Sue Speedway, Sandy?
Oh, it's 88.
Oh, Tony, you knew that. So you gonna go with Todd.
I knew it. You didn't even have to ask her. And I'll bet. What you really need to know is Dale Jr. eats a lot of bacon on race day in the morning. So help him out. Cook lots of bacon. And if Mr. T. Baginski can make it down there, I help you eat it. And I love Willie. Used to work for the man when he was with Ganassi, and it was great. So let's go 88.
Let's go 88.
Yeah.
Junior all the way.
Okay, gentlemen, I'm going to make my prediction. I am going to go. Y'all are probably going to not like this. I'm going to go with the number three, Richard Childress Racing. Mr. Austin Dillon is going to win his first Sprint Cup Series race. Todd, Tony, Suzanne, thank you for being my call screener. We're going to play a song, and we're going to go out. Good night from Tyler.
Good night. God bless you all.
Alabama.
The kind. coming over tonight. Yeah.